So today we're going to talk about three topics: the prohibition to eat before Kiddush, the issue of sitting or standing for Kiddush, and the third issue is covering the challah. Okay, I'm sure some of you have thoughts, have learned some things about each of these topics. We try to give a fuller perspective on these topics. We begin page 61. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Amud Beis, states, Amar Rav Huna Rav, Ta'am Einom Mekadesh, V'Rabba Amar, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Ta'am Mekadesh, and Rabba Hilchsa Ta'am Mekadesh. So this whole discussion, which, I mean, it's interesting they're bringing it here, as to what do you do if you tasted food already? Meaning you're not supposed to, if you tasted food, are you allowed to make Kiddush even after you tasted food? The implication here is that there's this presumption that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. So the Gemara has a discussion, and if you did, are you still allowed to make Kiddush or not? And we hold that you should still make Kiddush. Okay, but without getting to the debate here, the Gemara sort of implies that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. And the Rambam holds, Asur la'adam lechol olishtos yayin mishekidesh hayom atchiyikadesh. You're not allowed to eat or drink wine, or drink wine from the time of Kiddush hayom until you make Kiddush. And here's mean what? Until once Friday night hits, it's Shabbos, before we take care of our own needs, what do? We make Kiddush. We v'chein mishayatza hayom, and when the day leaves, you can't begin to eat or drink, or to do work, or to taste anything until you make avdala. Don't to make avdala. So it's different Friday night versus Saturday night. Saturday night, you're allowed to recite, you're allowed to drink water before avdala. And when it comes to Friday night, so you can't have anything. So the just want to point out, okay, so let's just see the Shulchan Aruch in source 3. Also, litam klum kodem shikadesh filu mayim. So on Friday night, we're strict. You can't even have water until you make Kiddush. So why are we so strict? So first of all, you know that when it comes to all other mitzvos where there's a fixed time, there are also halachos about not eating, but those halachos are, you're not allowed to have a fixed meal when the time arrives. So really, let's say when the time for mincha comes around, you're not really supposed to have a fixed meal unless you have a reminder to daven mincha. Because we're concerned that if you have a fixed meal, you'll continue with the meal, and you're going to forget to daven. Kiddush is a little bit different. Kiddush and Abdullah are different. Again, the reason why, I've said this before, when I went to YU, so I would almost always eat dinner after nightfall before I recited Maariv. How could I do that? Because I had a fixed minyan, 10 p.m. minyan that I went to. So the concern of not eating before Maariv is that you might just eat and forget to daven. So if you have a fixed reminder, then you're okay. But when it comes to Kiddush, we don't say that. Well, if someone reminds you to make Kiddush, then you can eat or drink before. We don't do that. Because when it comes to Kiddush and Havdalah, the mitzvah really is to sanctify the day as soon as the day begins, as close as possible to begin, and as close as possible to when it leaves. So that is, it's not only based because you might forget, there is a value to starting off the day as soon as you accept Shabbos, as soon as possible, to recite Kiddush. So obviously you have to daven first, and then when you finish davening, though, you shouldn't take care of your food needs, your drinking needs, until you make Kiddush. That's what the Chachamim said, that the te'ima rishona, the first taste that you have on Shabbos, should be at the time that you're Mekadesh the Shabbos, the time that you sanctify the Shabbos, when you begin Shabbos and when you end. And Kiddush is more strict than Havdalah, because by Kiddush, even water is forbidden to drink. And the reason is because Shabbos and Yom Tov are more strict in general. There's a halacha, I don't know if you study the laws of Meiser, So halacha is if you harvest crops, so you're allowed to snack. Like some of you ever do, if you ever like, you know, volunteer on a farm in Israel. So the question is, can you snack on some of the foods that when you're picking apples or picking grapes or whatever, oranges, whatever you're picking there? So the answer is that you're allowed to. Isn't there a chiyuv of ma'aser? Don't you have to separate ma'aser? No, because the obligation of ma'aser doesn't begin until something happens to sort of fix it, to be what's called koveya it for ma'aser. So for example, when you put it in a pile, when you put it in a pile, then that's koveya l'ma'aser. You bring it into the house, that's koveya l'ma'aser. So when Shabbos hits, that's also koveya for ma'aser. So therefore, we're a little more strict. So therefore, even tasting a little bit is, so once Shabbos hits, so then just like ma'aser, we see that Shabbos is strict. That when Shabbos hits, so even you can't even snack on the crops that you had that are in the field. So we see that Shabbos is a little more strict. So even drinking, you can't do before any drinking water, you can't have before Kiddush. And also, obviously, Shabbos morning, we're going to see may not be as strict, but the Chum were metaking to make Kiddush again. And they said that this, the Kedusha increases and the Shabbos in the morning, there's the Kavod Yom, the honor of the day. But before davening, before Shabbos morning, there's no prohibition of drinking because the time for the meal hasn't begun. Because you're not allowed to eat before Tefillah Shachris. And only once you daven Shachris, so then you have the Chiyuv of Kiddush. So it's a kind of like strange situation. Before you daven, so then there's no Chiyuv of Kiddush in Shabbos morning. So you would be allowed to eat or drink theoretically, but you can't eat before Kiddush. Sorry, you can't eat before davening, but you can what? You can drink water before davening. So that's why Shabbos morning, you can drink water before davening. And of course, women, who some of them are Yotzei when they make Kiddush, Shabbos morning, so that's a different story. But I'm just pointing out to you that Friday night, no water, no anything before Kiddush. Your first taste has to be with through Kiddush. Havdalah, you can drink water before. And Shabbos morning, you can also drink water before davening, assuming you didn't say brachos, you didn't say anything. So because the obligation of Kiddush doesn't begin until you've davened. And so therefore, there's no prohibition of eating or drinking before Kiddush, before you've davened. There's just a prohibition of eating before davening. So that's why you can drink water before davening, Shabbos morning, before brachos, before davening. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So the if we continue on source 4, the Magen Avraham says, Osur lito, nearly, the shor lirchotz piv, you're allowed to mouthwash. You're like, that's fine. The came the enu mechav la no to ima, because you don't have intent to derive benefit from taste there. Just trying to wash out your mouth. And then he says, umisha chashecha, filo kibol Shabbos. And he says, once it's dark, even if you didn't accept Shabbos, so even if you accepted Shabbos early, you still can't taste. Okay. Now, what about the doctor says you need to take some water, some medicine? So source 5, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, Umisha Lefi Pkuras Rofe Tzarech Lakachas Trufos Man Malif Ne'er Ruchaso. The doctor says you have to eat before your meal, Mutal Volam, you can swallow the pill. Vaf Lishtos Ktatsmai, but even drink a little water. Velo Shar Mashkin, but not other liquids. To make the swallowing a little bit easier. Again, you're not drinking the water here for your benefit. You're drinking it to assist your to take the medication. So that's why it's permitted. And then the Magen Avraham writes Umashim Barashve Tosus Perak Avir Psachim Duadin Bekiddush Alayla Im Ein Lo Pas Ochel Belo Kiddush. So let's say you're in a situation, let's say you don't have wine or bread. So you can't make, let's say you don't have wine or bread. So what are you supposed to do? So he says, you can eat without Kiddush. So he says, why? The kasu makum shein yayin. Ubeis kinesi if shalakadish pepas l'orchem shliach tzibor Omer Barcha Me'ein Shevav Yotzim Bozeh. So he says that, let's say you don't have bread, you don't have wine, you don't have anything for Kiddush, and any of the possibilities. So you rely on Shmoneh Esrei. Remember we said, remember the extreme view of Rav Akiva Eger? Remember Rav Akiva Eger, you know what he said? Remember he said that? When you say Shalom Aleichem, or sorry, Good Shabbos. He held, you say Good Shabbos, then you're Yotzei, the Mitzvah of Kiddush. That's a very extreme position. But there are others who said that when you say the Shmoneh Esrei for Friday night, you Yotzei Kiddush. So what if you're stuck? You're in a situation, you go away for Shabbos, you realize I don't have bread, I don't have wine, and you're stuck. So you have to starve Friday night? No, the answer is you don't have to starve. You can rely on the fact that you've fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush with Shmoneh Esrei, and you're Yotzei. In Cain called them Nami Yotzei, was there Masha Mekadosh B'Tfilah. So you can be Yotzei with the Kiddush you say by Shmoneh Esrei. Umikal Makom, Nirali, Dimitzapashi, Yaviu, Lo, Yamtiam al Kol Pachos, et Chatzel Salayla. But if you believe that you can get wine to half the night, it's better to wait. Avo Bekiddush Hayom ain't Tzarech, however, Bekiddush Hayom, during the day, you don't need to. Daha Yeshomim, Shemutu Lechel Kodem, Hudahim Lisbuch Lebishasat Chak. We're going to see there's a debate, some hold that you're allowed to eat before Kiddush Shabbos morning. So here we're just saying, so again, so Friday night we said no eating or drinking before Kiddush, nothing before Kiddush Friday night. Medications, yes. To drink a little water to help it go down, yes. And if you are starving and you don't have, you know, any type of bread or mizonos or anything for, you know, wine or any type of grape juice or anything to make Kiddush on, so in that case, you can rely on the fact that you're maybe, according to some opinions, your Kiddush in Shmoneh Esrei counts, and then you can eat afterwards. Okay? So that is, right, so that is, right, so that is that's what it comes to eating before Kiddush. Okay, let's talk about sitting or standing. Probably half the room sits, half the room stands. I don't know. What do we do? We sit, we stand, what do? You don't know? What do people do in their house? Yeah. What?
I think we start standing and then we sit down.
So you start standing, you start sit down. Anyone stand for the whole thing?
We stand the whole Kiddush.
You good. Myrna, you stand the whole Kiddush?
On Friday, right?
Friday.
You stand, Shabbos, you sit.
Okay. All right. Esther, what do you do?
No. What do we do? We stand.
Okay.
We stand.
Okay. So Dorachana is in the minority. But Leah, what do you do?
My father used to stand always, and then more recently, since I'm married, maybe a little bit more recently than that, he stands and then sits.
Okay.
But Shimon stands.
Okay. All right.
The whole time.
Okay. So I followed your father, Leah. I used to always stand, and recently I stood, because that's my father stood always for Kiddush Friday night.
Right.
But then at some point I changed. I did what your father did and what Dorchana did. But we see both are legitimate. So let's see. What are the arguments to sit? What are the arguments to stand? Okay. The Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, source 7. Will the Dan have a yeshiva kamo seba? So there's one concept, which is, if I'm making Kiddush for a bunch of people, right, around my Shabbos table, so can they be wandering around? If I make a bracha, is it sufficient for them to answer amen to the bracha for them to be Yotzei? Or maybe if it's like Kiddush b'makom suda, it has to be Kiddush in the context of a meal, maybe we have to be together, physically together. So the Gemara really said that there needs to be haseba, that if they're reclining together, so one person can make a bracha for other people. But nowadays, nobody reclines other than Pesach. I mean, it's not normal to recline. You know, it's not regular etiquette to recline. But so the Shulchan Aruch points out in Aruch Chaim Reshit Gimel Sif Aleph, well, the done for us, have a yeshiva kamo seba l'dihu, that when we sit, it's like them reclining. In other words, when a bunch of us are sitting at the table together, it means that we're joining together. Well, if he's there, the done laced on haseba, that we don't have a seba, that if a bunch of us are sitting together, one person makes Kiddush for everyone. Isn't that obvious? No, it's not obvious, because maybe Kiddush only works if we physically, it may not be sufficient, maybe just to listen, but we may actually have to be, sitting together. B'shelo b'yeshiva, b'shar dvarim, nami kol echad v'varech la'atzmo. And when they're not sitting, each person should make a bracha for himself. Now, Tosfos says, not so fast. Tosfos says, what would that mean? This would mean that everyone should sit. That ideally, if we're sitting around a table, and one person make it, then there's the way that, let's say, if I make kiddush for my family, the way that I join everyone together with my kiddush is that we're all sitting together, including myself. So maybe if I'm standing, and everyone's standing, we're not joined together. Because to be joined together in the times of the Gemara is actually that we'd have to recline together. And it shows that we're together, so therefore I can make kiddush for other people, I can make kiddush, and I can make the bracha for other people, but at the very least nowadays that we have to all be sitting. So Tosfos points out, but wait a second, source 8 in brachas mem gimel amud aleph, said tzarchim ksas me abdala shenu avdilim v'olim hech anu potrim tzedzem yain me abdala achrei shenu nu lo yoshim v'lo mesubim. He says, wait a second, by Abdallah, everyone stands for Abdallah. Does everyone stand for Abdallah? Durkhana, does Josh stand for Abdallah or does he sit?
Josh grew up standing. My father sits, but I don't know. Okay. There's like a real reason behind that necessarily. I don't know.
Okay. So why would you think Abdallah is different than Kiddush, by the way? Why might Abdallah be different than Kiddush?
Maybe because it's the end of something instead of the beginning of something.
Yeah, but again, what are you trying to write? But maybe by Kiddush, you're trying to join as part of a meal. I see what you're saying. Havdalah, you're really just fulfilling a mitzvah. And no one's really drinking. You're right. And maybe Kiddush is different because you're starting something, you're part of a meal. We'll see a little bit here. We'll see a little bit. But it's interesting, right, that some people who sit for Kiddush will stand for Havdalah. So Tosfos says, why aren't we sitting for Havdalah? Says v'shem yesh lomar, maybe you can say mitok shekovim atzmam tilotzis de havdala kovim nami kula milsa, that since we join together to fill the mitzvah havdala, so kovim nami kula milsa, so we're joining. Essentially, we are we're basically joining together for everything. In other words, The real question is like this. Maybe I'm not being so clear. The real question is, for me to make a bracha, bar pir gafen or hamotzi, and for you to be able to eat it. To when it comes to a mitzvah, like a birchos a mitzvah. So maybe for a mitzvah, I can recite the bracha. And if you listen, you can answer amen to be yotzei the mitzvah, the bracha for the mitzvah. But when I make a bracha on food, for me to make the bracha, and to be motzi you on the food, so maybe we need to be together. We need to be connected, physically connected. So what he's saying here is that since maybe by Abdallah, we're connected because I'm listening to your Abdallah, and therefore I'm connected to you like that, even though we're all standing, but since I'm listening through Abdallah, so therefore I'm connected to you with even the bracha burpia gafen. But then he says, v'lachein, v'lakach, no, v'tov, l'mad, v'gam l'shom, sh'yeshu, b'shas Abdallah, sh'yad nira, k'keva, u'polter osam. But Tosfos thinks it's better that everyone sits. That everyone should sit, again, because that if I'm being yotze, let's say, for the Havdalah, then maybe, again, if we're sitting together, we're more connected. But the Kobol says, is no. The other side is, Nochon lahavdil me'umad, l'chavod ha'melach, shenem alavin osuv derech levaya me'umad. So it gets what you're saying, Dorochana, maybe because we're escorting the king out. Havdalah is you're escorting the king out. And you don't just, when the guests leave, you don't just say goodbye, you walk them out. So maybe when you're making Abdallah, so this is a sign, it's respect to the honor of the king when you're standing. In Kiddush, we are welcoming the king. You would also really be required to stand up also. It's mechubad, it's kavod to the king for Kiddush and Abdallah. Kiddush, So what's the reason why by Kiddush maybe you should, why is there a distinction that Kiddush maybe you should sit Havdalah, you should stand? Because by Kiddush, there's Kiddush Makom Suda. So you're doing two things when it comes to Kiddush. On the one hand, you're expressing kavod, honor to God. On the other end, but additionally, what are you doing? You are starting your meal. And we don't eat meals standing up, even though maybe we do, but it's not appropriate to do that. Right? And he said, this is, it's derision. So anytime your kids are walking around eating food and standing, you can quote the Gemara term. So you're acting kechucha batlula, and you're acting. It's like a derision. You're making a joke out of the meal. Okay, so we
see. Rabbi, if you're standing when you are reciting the Kiddush,
right?
Sort of welcoming the Shabbat Kalah,
right? Yeah.
In the universe, why can't you sit just to finish to drink it?
Right. Okay. Maybe. I think what we do is that it's a little strange because I think it goes after the bracha also. I think it's a little strange to, I hear it's an interesting split. I think it's not sort of derech eretz. This is my own intuition. It's not sort of derech eretz to make a bracha and with one posture on food and then to have a different posture when you eat it. I think it's really this, it's like one action. Like, you're about to do something, and right before, you know, you ask Hashem permission, you know, for eating this food. So it's like, it's not.
But what happens on Pesach? If you're standing, and then you have to be mesubin to drink the wine, you have to sit, and you'll do that after you've made the
Yeah, bottle. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what people do, because they're, I agree. But some, I'm trying to think, what do I do? And you're right. So why don't I sit? Did I sit this year for so right? So again, no. So you're right. That's why some would argue. That's why they would argue that they would sit for that. I agree with you. In other words, you're playing. You have different factors here. So question: what's the most important? You have kavod. You have this idea of kiddush b'makom suda. You have to act like a suda. So you can split the baby. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to say the bracha while you're standing. So you have no choice on Pesach, because you have to sit, because not only do you have to sit because of the meal, you have to sit because you have to act like chayrus, like a free person. So I might go back to you and say, well, maybe you should sit for the kid. Maybe you should sit for the kiddush. I'm just saying, you raise a good point. The question is like, is that appropriate? Is it not appropriate? I'm just saying the different sides to it. I mean, what everyone does is fine. I'm trying to, like, we're just trying to learn the different sides to that. So the Beis Yosef says in Source 10, Linira de Mekadish Mumad, you should make kiddush while standing up. Now he came into Samach Leshulchan, who Shapir Mikri B'makom Suda. Shri Ladas Rabban B'chagasuga Sorek Mekadish Mumad. So he brings a proof. He says, no. He says that, yeah, if you're standing around, then maybe that's not considered B'makom Suda. But if you're standing right by the table, that's B'makom Suda. And he said, I'll give you a proof. The Rambam holds that on, and this is, he should have given your example, Myrna, about the Seder night, but this might be a better example, maybe, about the Rambam holds that when it comes to the Sukkah, he says that you make the bracha leishei basukkah, then sit down. I mean, I don't do that. Why would you think you would do that? You make the bracha of leishei basukkah, and then you sit in the sukkah. Like, you stand up, you make the bracha, let's say, hamotzi leishei, and then you sit down in your seat. Why would you think that you would have to make the bracha of leishei basukkah before you sit in your seat?
It's very demonstrative when you obey your own bracha.
I'm going to give a halachic term for this. It's called that you should that we make brachos, what's called over lasiyasam, before you do the mitzvah. So maybe when you sit in the sukkah, so then you're supposed to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is to sit, so then you should make the bracha before
sit. That's how my father-in-law does it. Like, they don't sit down until they make the late shave.
Right. So I'm saying, so what do you see from here? So we see that you can make, so he says, so that's my point. What about Ein Kiddush B'Makom Suda? So, what about Ein Kiddush B'Makom Suda? The point is, since you're around the table, that is B'Makom Suda. So we see all these different factors coming to play, right? In other words, do you need to sit for the Suda or just be around the table for the Suda? And how important is the kavod of welcoming the Shabbos queen or Shabbos king and escorting the Shabbos king, right? Now, we had this kind of in-between view, the Shulchan Aruch, source 11, or Chaim Rishai and Av Sif Yud, Vomer Vayechulu Ma'umad. You say Vayechulu, standing up, V'achar Kach Omer Bor Pirgaf V'achar Kiddush. And then you say Bor Pirgaf, and then you say Kiddush, right? You say Vayechulu, and the Rama writes, V'yachol Laman B'shasa Kiddush. And you're allowed to stand in time of Kiddush. V'yosir Tov Li Leishiv. It's better to sit. V'anogim Leishiv. And those who have the custom to sit, Ap Ishash Omer Vayechulu. Even at a time when he says Vayechulu, some people even sit even when they say Vayechulu. I think almost all of us stand for Vayechulu. He says, Rak Hishem Aschilim Omdim Ktsas L'chavad Hashem. Maybe when we begin, we stand a little bit to honor Hashem. Ki Maschilim Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayah. V'niras Nirmas HaShem Rosh HaTeva. See, he bolded the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey. Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayah. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it's Shem Hashem. So like, you know how you deal with your Kavod Hashem? You should stand. So stand for Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayah. I have never seen anyone do that, but that's an interesting position. Now, they stand, Yom HaShiva Yichloh Shemayim, and they sit. So you're so in other words, you have one extreme where you're sitting for everything except for Yom HaShiva Yichlu, and the other extreme which is just standing for the whole thing and sit when you drink. You know, so you have like different positions about that. So how does the Mishnah Berurah Paskin? Mishnah Berurah says in Source 12, Or Chaim Reish Ainav, Sif Katam Mevav, says, V'yosar Tov Leishev, Divchi Agav the Mikre Tfei Kishmakum Suda. It's at the end of the day, if you're sitting during the bracha, it's more precise kiddush b'makom suda. Kivan sheyoshev b'makom suda so be'eis ha-kiddush. Because you are sitting in the place of your meal at the time of kiddush. In other words, it's sort of like, I understand what you're saying, is that you're saying, why don't you just speak, say the bracha, then sit when you're eating. Maybe the whole point is, I'm about to eat, and I'm about to say grace before. You know, sometimes you see the secular, you know, people, when they, let's all sit around and say grace, hold hands and say grace and say what we're thankful for. Like that's, you're saying the context of a meal. It's not like a tefillah and then let's go eat. It's really like we're starting to eat and now we're just about to say thank you Hashem for what we're about to do. So it should really be sitting down. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. For another reason. That, so on the one hand, Kiddush Makom Suda, on the second hand, that you want to be motzi other people, so they need to be fixed together. Uvi Yeshiva Mikre Kvius, if they're sitting, it's called Kvius. Ulfi Devarav Gama Shom Tzvichim Leishev. Ah, according to this, people who listen should also sit. This you should do ideally. V'Yishlomar, and there is to say, the Gam Dat Tohu L'Rak L'Chatchil. This is only ideally. Important halacha. Whoever's making kiddush, sometimes one person's making kiddush, and let's say, I don't know, I have to take care of things in the kitchen, and you want to say, oh, you know, you start listening to kiddush, and something's going on in the kitchen, and this, and you say, oh, I can still hear from the kitchen and fix other things. That's not appropriate. Mishmur is not appropriate because at the very least, so fine, you're not sitting, but you still be around the table. If you're not around the, in other words, one of the reasons why we're saying that you don't have to sit down is because you're around the table to create kvios. Being in the kitchen and fixing this, that, and the other. So if you want to be in the kitchen for Shalom Aleichem, whether that's appropriate or not, it's a custom to say Shalom Aleichem. But for Kiddush itself, it's very important. If you can, let's say you have kids for chinuch purposes, and you're trying to, you've got to pick your points of educating them. So it might be different, for Shalom Aleichem, Eshes Chayil, whatever. From a halachic standpoint, there's value to sitting around, to standing around the table at the time of Kiddush, if possible. I think that's Mr. Brewer writes here. The Birka Yosef writes in Source 13, he says, Midivrei Sefer Kavanos Shesidur Rav Vital. Right? Muchak the Kiddush Hayom Harav Haya Omo Miyushav Vechei Nagu Rabbanon Kaddishe Be'ir HaKodesh Yerushalayim. So apparently the Birka Yosef said that he would sit for Kiddush during the day, okay, because maybe you don't have the if you think about it, there's less of a reason to stand for Kiddush during the day, because what's the reason that we're standing? What do we say the reasons are? So first of all, we're going to see the Pnei Halacha says, maybe you stand because of Vayechulu, it's like testimony to God about Shemayim V'aretz, you need to stand for that. Maybe it's because of Kavod, you know, that the kavod, that the king is coming or the king is leaving, the queen is coming, queen is leaving, Shabbos queen is coming or leaving, it doesn't apply with Kiddush during the day, right? Because Kiddush during the day, it's the middle of it. So there's less of a reason to stand for Kiddush during the day, right? So the that's why if you notice, when I make Kiddush for the shul, so I will, when I start Kisheshes Yomim, so I will stand.
And then you sit.
And then, right, I sit when I say the bracha. And also, another thing I do is I'm much louder for the bracha than the rest of it. The rest of it, you don't really have to hear. I mean, it's nice if you do, but if I have a sore throat and people are making a lot of noise, whatever, I want to make sure that I'm loud and I'm sitting when I say the bracha. So the other stuff, I'm not so makpid where I am, whatever. But for the bracha, I want to be sitting and I want to be loud. Pnei Halacha, source 14 says, Haminig Arevach Lama Beis HaKiddush Shebeleil Shabbos. The prevailing custom is to stand on Kiddush and Leil Shabbos. So, okay, Mibnei Sheyesh Bo Edus Al Priyas Olam. Because there is testimony in the creation of the world. The Edim Tzrichim Lama Bishas Edusam. And the witnesses need to testify during their testimony. So Vayichulu is like a testimony.
That's a good one.
So V'chein Amar Arizal al Piyasod, and the Arizal says, based on Ksod is like Kabbalah, V'chach Minag Yotze Sfarad V'chassid Yotze Ashkenaz. So a lot of people stand for Kiddush. U'minag Yotze Ashkenaz L'Shevas B'Kiddush, but a lot of Ashkenazim sit for Kiddush. Kedei Shekiddush Yomar Mamish B'Makom Suda, because it's B'bakob Suda, but they're chasuda b'yeshiva, and the way of the meal is sitting. B'nozav l'kach additionally, ayideh yeshiva, nasim kol ha'shom v'makadish k'vum yachad. So you're joining people together. V'yetz b'yotzei Ashkenaz, shemahadrin lamos be'eis, she'omim psukei ve'echulu, v'achach b'yishyashvim. And there are those from the chachmi, those who follow Ashkenaz practice, that they'll stand for v'yechulu, and then they'll sit for the rest of Kiddush. That's what apparently I do and Josh Hart does. Okay, and Leah's father. Okay, v'kiddush hayom ladas kulam adif l'sheves. And kiddush during the day, it seems everyone said you should really sit. V'chein nogim rov Yisrael. So most of Yisrael does this. V'afal pichin yesh nogim lamod. And still people stand. V'ein isiv min hagam. There's no prohibition with their custom. So everything you're doing is correct. Everything is fine. But it's good to know why. It's always good to know why. At some point, I did change, but I don't think my father was okay with my change. But I did change. But anyway. But it's always good to know. It's always whether or not you're going to change or not. It's good to know the reasons for doing these things. But it's good to think about these things. You're making Kiddush or we're listening to Kiddush. It's good to think about, I'm welcoming in the Shabbos. If you're standing, I'm standing to welcome the Shabbos King. I'm welcoming Havdalah. I'm escorting Shabbos out. Like you try to feel like you're in the moment. You try to feel that you're in the moment with Shabbos, right? You're joining everyone together, and also trying to make sure that everyone at the table is at the table for Kiddush, even if you're standing. Last thing, so the covering the challah during Kiddush. So the Gemara Psachim. So what's the reason why we cover the challah for Kiddush? Because what? Because we know that what?
You don't want to make the challah embarrassed.
Because bread has feelings. Okay, bread has feelings. Okay. So, first of all, there are other reasons for this, and obviously that's, so let's try to develop this. That's one idea.
Also, the man, Rabbi, the man was three layers.
The man was three layers. So the big question is, what's the difference between Dorachana's reason, is there a practical difference between Dorachana's reason and Gila's reason? We'll see. Okay? Right? So the Gemara Psachim, Daf, Kuf, Amabay, what do you think the reason would be? If the reason is because the challah is embarrassed, whatever that means, so we'll explain what that means soon. But if the reason is because the challah is embarrassed, what would the practical difference between that and the reason that Gila gave, which is that we want to do a zecher l'man, a commemoration to the man, that the man had dew in the midbar on top and on the bottom. What would a practical difference be between these two reasons?
What does the man reason have to do with Kiddush specifically? Meaning, why couldn't we just cover the challah any other time? Like, why do you have to do it specifically during Kiddush?
I'm not asking. No. I think it was because of double. Bread. Yeah. I think it was because of the. So maybe because. So you want to say what? Maybe we should only. So you want to say it may not even apply during. So the right, the man didn't fall on Shabbos, and it was just the right. It's to commemorate a little bit about the fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maybe it's to think about that, because we have two challahs, right? We have two challahs which sort of remind us of the miracle of the man. So think about what's the opposite of what you're saying, Dorachana? Not the opposite, but so we're saying it's only related to the challah. And
well, meaning, again, yeah. I'm not advocating for this bread has feelings reason necessarily.
No, I understand.
But that, according to that reason, it makes sense why specifically during Kiddush we would cover the challah.
Right, but when do you cover the challah until?
You cover the challah until you make hamotzi.
Right, so if the reason, right, we have to see what it means that, so that the challah is not bread. Maybe, that we're going to see the reason, it's not really so the challah doesn't feel bad. I mean, that's what we say, but it's really because maybe if you have bread and you have wine in front of you, what bracha are you supposed to make if you have bread and wine?
Hamotzi.
So right. So why are we covering the challah?
Because we're not ready for the hamotzi yet.
Right. Because we need to make kiddush first. Right. So yeah. So that might be what this really means. If that were the case, at what point can you uncover the challah? Maybe.
Once kiddush is over.
Correct. But if it's because of the man, then maybe you would have to keep it covered until you make the bracha on the hamotzi. Okay, let's see.
Aren't it when they partially expose the challah during the kiddush?
Partially expose the challah? I think it's a Pesach thing. I'm not sure during kiddush, but mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. So the Gemara Pesachim, source 15. Daf Kufim Beis. Rabba Rav Huna, Ikla the Bei Reish Kalusha. He was visiting the house of the Reish Kalusha. The exilarch. I see Tacha Kame. They brought a table before him. Paras Mapa of the Kiddush. You make Kiddush. Tanya Nami Hachi. Amy Venus of Shulchan. Elim King Kiddush. They should not bring the table of food until he makes Kiddush. Vim Havi. Right. In other words, in those days, they had their own private tables with their own food. So they say, don't bring out the bread. Don't bring out the table until you make Kiddush. But if he did, Im Havi, if he brought the table with the food, maybe porosumapa makadesh, and you cover, you spread a cloth over the food, and you recite kiddush. So why is that? So the Rashbam in source 16, Pesachim Daf Kufim Beis says, "V'tama kiddush paros b'shiltas d'ravachai, go and b'parsh v'yishma yisro v'kasev b'hu hachi." He finds the reason in the shiltas of Rav Achai Gon. This is a commentary of the Gaonim, of one of the Gaonim. The Gaonim lived between the 7th, 11th century. They're between the Amoraim, the Talmudic sages, and the Rishonim. So in this work called the Shiltos, he says the following: Ukruve tacha mikame delikadesh likidusha de shabsa. We lomakarvinan. We don't bring the table before making kiddush. My time, what's the reason? Kiyichide tesi suda liyakur de shabsa. We want the meal will come for the honor of Shabbos. Meaning what? Meaning what he says is that what do you first have to do? You first make kiddush, and then you take out the food. That this reason people haven't heard that often. This is the least famous of the reasons. In other words, think about it like this: first we declare that it's Shabbos. Now we bring out the food in honor of Shabbos. So you don't bring out food yet until you say, "This is Shabbos." In honor of Shabbos, we're bringing out the food. So we cover. So therefore, you're really not supposed to bring out the table first. First, make Kiddush. Okay? And then you bring out the table. And Tosa says in Source 17, in Pesachim, Daf Kufam Rebeis, V'achshav Shulchan Shalano Shem Gedol Yosem Midai. Imagine if we would remove our tables, bring our tables, forward after Kiddush. Tables are too big. Because Shalavim Achar Kiddush, you can't bring them after Kiddush. Shalahav Zikokap in Kiddush the Suda. It's going to cause too much of interruption between Kiddush and the meal. Anu regiim lifros mapo lakadish. We just spread a tablecloth over the food, and we make kiddush. Batam forash b'shiltos kecha the tasty should to be a kara de Shabbos. So what are we doing? We cover all the food, or maybe not all the food, maybe the bread, because the bread is maybe the mainstay of the meal. So we cover the bread, and that he doesn't really tell us. He just says cover maybe all the food, but he says we cover so that what? It's as if there's no food on the table, and all we're doing is we're making kiddush. After we sanctify Shabbos, then well, now we have a meal of Chavat Shabbos. And then if Yesh Mafari Zecher Laman, this is Gila's reason. Shaloya Yorid Bishabaso. So Man would not fall on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Voyatal Milmala Milmata Vamon Bentayim. And the dew was above and below the Man, and was above and below, and the Man was in between. Right,
the
so
Man was in the center.
In
there
the
was
center
dew on the bottom
of the dew.
And dew on the top.
Right. It's a member, it's a commemoration of the Man, which did not fall on Shabbos. So I guess, right, it's an interesting question. Why we remember it specifically on Shabbos, Dor Chanan's question. So it's when we actually didn't have. So it's to commemorate that Hashem, miracle on miracle, I guess he caused a double portion to fall on Friday. So the Rosh writes, source 18, in Psachim, Perak Yud, Simon Gimel, Vishami, the comment, the Parsim Apatay Shalom, Yira Hapas Boshto. So he says, everyone says, because it's going to cause the bread embarrassment. Shu Muktam Bapasuk. Vidinu Shiyakti Mibaracho Makdim Birkas Hayayim. So you can just, you don't, the bread doesn't really have feelings. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the bread has feelings. But the point is, it's not appropriate. You're supposed to make a bracha on bread before wine. What's the problem? You're supposed to make kiddush before you eat bread. So you're stuck. What are you supposed to do? So what you do is, you cover the bread so the bread's not in front of you, and therefore you make kiddush first. That's why also, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah night, first night of Rosh Hashanah, so some people have different simanim, right? So it's like what simon do you have to do first? What's the first thing you have to eat on Rosh Hashanah night? What?
Motzi.
The what?
Motzi.
Okay, after that motzi, Suzanne, what do you have to do after that? Which of the simanim do you have to do?
Apple and honey,
the honey, right? I mean, that's right. If you don't do apple and honey, it's gonna be the end of the kids are like, they're looking forward to that apple and honey right away. What's the problem? Problem is that some of you may have other simanim that have priority when it comes to, because let's say you have a date or a fig or grape or a pomegranate, one of the shivat aminim. So they would take priority over the apple. So some will say no, but this mystical approach, Kabbalistic approach would say like, no, but on the night of Rosh Hashanah, the apple's special significance. But for people like me, I don't go for that. So what do I do? But my family still wants to do the apple and honey first. So what I do is you cover the fruits that would come first, so they're not in front of you. If you have apple and fig in front of you, you got to make the bracha on the fig. You got to make the halitz on the fig. But if the fig's not in front of you, if you cover it, then that's okay. So that's what we're doing here. Right, here you're stuck. You can't make a motzi until you're making kiddush, but you should make kiddush because it comes before the bread. So therefore, you do. You cover the bread. So the Mishnah Berurah says the following, source 19. Bitur, b'shem Yerushalmi, shelo yira pas bo shto she mikachi lev el al yayin, v'hu yesh lo din kedima b'shar mekomos. So that's what he says, that you can only make kiddush on wine, and bread has priority in other places. So let's say you don't have wine. If you don't have wine, are you making kiddush on bread? So what do you do? You don't need to cover the bread according to this reason. Right? The reason is, if the reason is like the Rachana's reason, that it's an issue of kedima bibrachos, right? That you don't want to, quote unquote, embarrass the bread. You need to cover it because you're making bracha on the wine, and wine shouldn't come before the bread, so you cover the bread. So if you make kiddush on bread, if you don't have wine, you make kiddush on bread, no need to cover the bread. Aval atam acher, shekos avatur shezecher laman, suyamunach bekufsa talamalav talamata. If the purpose of the covering is zecher, to commemorate the man, so then memela gam ki b'mekadosh shalapat, zerich lachas mapav chenogim. So that even if you're making kiddush on bread, then you should cover it. Umashe pri megadim l'chol tamim dai b'mekadosh al yayin, shehoi mechusa ad acher shekmar kiddush. It seems for the pri megadim, all you need to do is cover the challah until after you finish kiddush. V'chein b'shachri sarach gam kein liyos hapas b'chusa ad achar kiddush mitam elu. So there are those who held, some achronim held, that all you need to do is cover the challah until after kiddush. However, v'chai adam mash b'dil tam zecher laman tov shiyem b'chusa ad achar b'chus hamotzi. So, according to the Chai Adam was an Achron, and he felt that the reason about the Man, so since the Man is like, that's like the Lecha Mishnah, the two loaves of bread, reminding us of the miracle of the Man, so you really should, you should leave it covered to remember that there is dew on top and on bottom until you finish making the bracha on the hamotzi, which commemorates the man. So the
what if your minhag though is to actually put a cut into the challah before you make the motzi so that you distinguish which challah you're going to go for?
Right, but you could, I think you could still keep it covered and just like, you know, you still keep it covered and you like, you know, first of all, people, customers, they put 10 fingers on it also, right? You know, there's a custom to hold both challahs with 10 fingers. Shulchan Aruch quotes that. So what I do is I put my hands under the challah cover, so you can also cut it, you know, make a small, you know, cut, not a large, what it to a marker under the cover. The kids of Shulchan Aruch, source 20, and he says, but wait a second. So here's my question: Do you have to cover mizonos? What comes first, hagafen or mizonos? Right. So it's interesting. He says, birchas bar mizonos kodesh gam birchas yain. Let's say you have a cookie and you have wine. So they always give me that, you know, when for sukkahs, when they go around different sukkahs. So every year we're the hagafen and the mizonos, because they really want it, because they're really trying to test me, because that's always very questionable which bracha you make first. So he says here, you make a bracha mizonos before the grape juice or the wine. So right, so he says v'lechem b'shabbos yom tov kishukash liyayin tzorich chazos esapas shli yer boshtosh only lo birchas liyayin. So there are those, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that if the reason is because, again, if the reason is because of the man, so you don't have to cover mizonos, but if the reason is because of kedima brachos, so if you have a mizonos, you're not making bracha on the mizonos because you have to make kiddush first, so you should cover the mizonos also, not just your challah, but also the mizonos. However, there are others who disagree. Tami Ben Hagim says, "Kishimekayt b'shacharis b'shavus ochal pasul b'kistim, ain't sure the chas pasul b'kistim b'shavus kiddush." No. They only made the practice of covering bread and not mizonos. Delo shach kana tam shloya a pasul shdosh shumukta b'pasuk eretz kitasora. That it's not b'shum dezed dafka b'pas shemechuyavim levarach alav birchas hamotzi v'gam nefshel lekayish al pas otzer lechasus a pas. He says that when it comes to bread, you could theoretically make kiddush on bread, right? Mm-hmm. Right? You're really not supposed to make kiddush on mizonos. That's not really ideal. We saw there was an opinion, maybe you could. But so really, you could be making kiddush on bread. So there you cover the bread. Aval hapash in verkhalam hamotzi. We got mekachi in love. We don't make hamotzi on it. We don't make kiddush on it. And he says the kedima, it's true. He says like it's not so much... It's like it's a little bit before, but it's not like it's not such an insult to it. So therefore, he says that you don't need to cover for pasul b'kistin. So that's like that's a question. Do you have to cover all bread? Do you have to cover mizonos or not? So there are different opinions about this. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says yes. Tami Ben Hagim says no. If you look in the next page, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if you don't, it's a separate point, another interesting point, where he says that if you don't, let's say who has to cover the challahs? Is it every person? Like let's say you hear kiddush, do you have to do that? He says no, only the one who's making the bracha, right? Doesn't apply. In other words, if one person is making hagafen and one person is making hamotzi, and the rest of you maybe have challahs or whatever, but you're not making the bracha. So he says, no, only the person who makes kiddush has to cover. I know that always when everything's Shabbatons, they tell everyone to cover the bread. It's probably not necessary. It's probably only the one who makes kiddush and hamotzi who has to cover it. But anyway, so these are the reasons for covering the challah before kiddush. Okay? Any questions?